When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts, Dum Dums and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals, Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dum Dums and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumdumdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dum Dums and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome to One Shots, a Dum Dums and Dice podcast where professional voiceover actors and improvisers tackle one-shot stories created in a variety of hit RPGs. I'm your host, DJ One Shot, and I'm here to welcome you to Pick Me, a Trophy Dark Incursion. This special holiday arc features our GM, Tom McGee, players Ryan LaPlante, Tyler Hewitt, and Laura Elizabeth, along with special guests Guy Bradford and Claire Blackwood. What happens when the Dum Dums become toys competing to be a child's favorite on Christmas? Nobody knows, because it's One Shot! Pick Me Edition.
Many people comment on the beauty of falling stars. They have different significances to different cultures. In a lot of fantasy stories, they are portents, things we can use to tell the future. In our holiday tale tonight, the falling star takes a slightly different form. That of a recently demasked Barbie screaming through the midnight sky as Miley Cyrus's Midnight Sky plays, as it does in my head most days. Barbie, you plummet to the earth. Crashing like a small smoking crater into the snow. You've been demasked and tossed by mystical energy. What is your immediate reaction upon hitting the snow?
that. Oh, I don't have nerve endings. This is fine. and it's just like a, this sucks. But how do I get back? And like, she's very upset. She's very upset about the lack of mask. It's yeah, like, this is like, basically I just had a dream last night where I found myself in public without a mask, as happens to me every once in a while. So it's kind of
the
like
dream, not the maskless situation, I assume.
No, the maskless situation.
Oh no,
dreams in public places. Yeah.
Laura hosts the raves at Cherry Beach. Yeah. Oh, I mean, thank God you survived that chainsaw attack. That really would have fucked up the rest of our shows.
Yes. So in my dreams, this.
Gotcha. Happened. Okay.
Anyways.
Great.
So I'm saying that 29 Barbie is responding the same way I do, which is like, oh no. Oh no. Just like feeling all over her, like my mask, I have my mask. And she's going to want to sprint back to her box.
Well, you would, except as you're patting yourself down for the mask, a hand wraps around you and slowly pulls you up, and out. And as you blink, the snow out of your plasticky eyes, you behold Mrs. Claus.
What?
Well,
Claire, what do you look like?
Well, dearie, I look like this.
Right, but for those listening and not watching the video, what do you look like?
To the podcast later.
Right, she's approximately 100 years old, and white hair and red hat and little spectacles and in a Santa outfit, but feminine.
Excellent. 2020 Barbie, you are held aloft by Mrs. Claus, who, unlike the man in red, looks upon you with a look that's a mix of pity, but also hope, which is two concepts you have not encountered in your brief life. And as she walks with you, and again, like very much think like a King Kong kind of situation where you're just being like carried in a fist into a house, you enter her meager residence, a small, vaguely Yoda on Dagobah cottage with a roaring fire. Claire, what do you think the scent in the air is?
I would say, gingerbread, for sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's a hint of gingerbread on the air. Claire, describe, what do you think this little Yoda cottage looks like?
it's like everything that the creepy, you know, workhouse and labor camp and Santa Claus vibe isn't. Mm. So it's homey and lovely and nice and what you'd actually expect when you go to the North Pole. And you'll notice that there are no family photos around.
Immediately 2020 Barbie, you feel warm, which is something you actually haven't felt in your brief existence. Cause you know, Santa ain't chilling to keep those fucking labor camps warm. You feel heat. And your plastic warms slightly. There's something about this small domicile that feels like a bubble. It feels like a place you'd be safe to not have your mask on. Claire, where would you put 2020 Barbie? Is there like a place? Because, I mean, you have a story to tell her and a request. But where would you position her for this that you think would make her more amenable to your plea?
I would put her next to a nice cup of hot chocolate, which is steaming, so she can warm up.
Oh, that's nice. So 2020 Barbie, you see a number of adorably small marshmallows floating in that way that only ads can really pull off, where they're like sort of melty, but also solid, a state that no marshmallow has ever been in. And Mrs. Claus sits down across from you. Laura, do you think you would speak first, or would you wait to see what Mrs. Claus has to say?
I think I have to wait, because despite my kind of like panic at all this stuff happening and like feeling like hopeful a little bit, like she might be, this might be a good thing that I was been rescued or something. I think there's still some fear. I still got the fear in me.
I mean, keep for that sure. For the rest of this game. You will need it.
Thanks.
Mrs. Claus, what does your chair look like? What is your favorite chair?
It's giant and red and padded and squishy.
Nice. Does it look new or worn?
Oh, it looks really old.
Okay, amazing. Mrs. Claus, you settle back into a massive, what I would argue is like a perfect reading chair, you know, just a large overstuffed chair. Barbie, as you notice her settle into it, you catch just a strange detail. That's one of those weird things that your brain almost can't quite keep up with. But as she settles into it, as comfortable as Mrs. Claus looks in it, it's, you can see her shuffle a little bit. And as any of us who have a good chair can attest, it's not the look of someone who sits down into their regular chair and is like, ah, yes, this fits me like a glove. There's just something a little off about her sitting in this chair. It's clearly her favorite chair, but there's a little bit of a shuffle and a readjustment that you clock. And then Mrs. Claus, I believe you have a question, an ask for 2020 Barbie.
Yes. Now listen, Barbie, why don't you have a mask? You're going to get sick.
And kind of nervously I said,
sir, your husband tore it off me.
Oh, he's a shit. Right. Well, we'll get to that later. Actually, apropos of that, listen to me very carefully. We don't have much time. I don't know where he is. Barbie, long ago, my soul, you have to understand that I haven't always been Mrs. Claus. My soul was supposed to go into a little cowgirl who was supposed to be given to a little girl by the name of Janie Atwell. But before my soul could enter the doll, Santa stole it and he put it into a body of Mrs. Claus that he made after the real one died. I'm like Frankenstein's monster, but with fewer external scars. Now, listen, I need you to do this for me. I need to get to Janie Atwell. She's old now and she's on the brink of death and I must fulfill my purpose. So I need you to deliver my essence to her. And if you do that, you'll get an advantage against the other toys on Christmas Day so that the child will love you more. Can you do that for me?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And with that, Mrs. Claus reaches into... Claire, what are you wearing? What's the outfit Mrs. Claus has on? Is it just like a big, like, Santa-y gown?
Yeah.
So you reach into that and pull out a shoddily made cowgirl doll that looks a little bit like Jessie from Toy Story 2, but different enough that we can't get sued. But it also looks like it was hastily built. And Barbie, as a meticulously built toy, this thing kind of looks sloppy. Like this looks like someone's kind of shitty... Honestly, it looks a bit like Morky Mouse. Just like a slightly off-brand version. But she brings out this little box and opens it. And inside there is a badly built cowgirl doll that you can tell isn't official by any stretch. But she kind of slides it across the table towards you.
This is Messy. That's its name. And listen, in order to put my essence in the doll, you must kill me right here, right now. Just strike me down. However you want. I no longer want to live in this old wizened flesh.
That said, kill me. Greater story bargain to you, Laura, as 2020 Barbie. If you can bring this doll, who is admittedly smaller than you, like, again, this is like the McDonald's Happy Meal version of what the messy doll should have been. It will be a burden, but if you can deliver the messy doll unto Janie, you will gain an advantage on Christmas Day. What do you do?
Yeah, I think I'll definitely do it with the knowledge that she's smaller than me and looks is probably kind of shittier of a doll than me because she's old. So also, if things are going wrong, I'll just like stomp her.
Well, she's also, I mean, that's amazing. She's also not competing for the child's affection.
Yeah.
Her child lives two doors down and is an old woman. So like,
that's fine. Pish
posh, who gives a fuck?
That's fine.
So here's the real question. Claire, as Mrs. Claus, you've decided to be struck down. You're yeah. Obi-Wan Kenobi fighting Darth Vader, and you just do that thing where you're like, I'm just going to lift my sword up. Like, it's fine. What is your, like, come at me, bro moment of just, like, how do you position yourself? And then following that, Laura, listen to what Claire suggests her, like, I have chosen my death pose is. How do you kill Mrs. Claus? Claire, how do you set yourself up for this?
I think she just reaches over to the table and just kind of gingerly takes Barbie and kind of sets her on her knee and then just kind of like leans back and picks up a book and shields her eyes and just says, do what you will. All right. I do not wish to watch.
Claire, I think we need to know, what book is it?
Atlas Shrugged.
Kill her fast and hard. Kill her fast and hard with no fear.
Based on the
fuck you.
Based on the Santa we've set up, this tracks. I feel like Santa just has like that and I don't know, other similar books. Yeah, okay, great. Love it. Barbie 2020, how do you kill Mrs. Claus?
Well, after the book, without remorse. What do I have around me? Is there?
I literally want you to imagine. Like Laura, imagine based on what Claire's described. Literally, this is the Santa Claus like little cottage of happiness in any movie you've ever seen. So, using like the happiest Christmas movie you've ever seen, how do you euthanize this woman?
Actually, I think, you know what, because I can remove my arm, I think I'll just rip off my left arm and I will just kind of like basically run up and just kind of like basically smack her and like try to crush her windpipe.
My God. There's a doll hitting her in the throat repeatedly.
Yeah.
Claire, what is the song that plays over the probably 10-minute montage of Barbie just ramming like the blunt shoulder of her other arm into your throat until it collapses?
Oh, you know, it's the Simply Having Wonderful Christmas.
I fucking hate that song so much. Perfect.
And he's hitting it to the beat. Like, ding, ding, ding,
yeah.
Ding.
Yeah.
Okay. Ugh, I hate that song so much. That somehow made
that's my... a perfect song choice.
No, but this is also, yeah, very nice, I agree Claire. Entirely. Thank this you. Is one of those moments where I'm like, haha, I've set up a weird body horror Christmas story for all of you. And I'm like, oh, now I feel gross. just because I had to think about that stupid song. Like, yeah,
you started this.
I know. I just hoisted by my own petard. Okay, so after an extended period of jamming this lady in the throat, Mrs. Claus, you, and I think, you're doing what, I've noticed, like, I think it's a very like Mrs. Claus thing, but I'd also argue like a lot of very indulgent adults to like small children, like poking them and things, just being like, okay, like I get that you're just doing this. So it's just you being like, okay, she's trying her best. And
oh, Claire, oh, just try a little lower, dear. You just haven't gotten quite in between the, yeah.
It's an acute angle.
Look, if it's not working, there's something else that I'm happy to try.
I mean, I think we've established it does eventually work, but
okay.
No, we're not leaving that on the table. After doing this for a while, her throat is like,
you're 5 minutes into a 10-minute process.
How do you escalate?
I think I just like pop. I like, ah, fuck this. And I pop my arm back on. And what I do is I basically, I kind of like jump up and use her like lip as leverage. I spit around, I shove my legs into her nostrils, and I just clamp her mouth shut with my hand.
Simply having a wonderful
Christmas time.
Oh my God.
Time. Mrs. Claus, of your long and tortured existence, the first moment of actual joy you have is feeling doll legs up your nose. Since you realized not that long ago that you were in fact a toy, that you having spent years believing you were in fact the original Mrs. Claus, you finally feel yourself slip out of the giant Frankenstein's monster body and into your messy doll, only to discover, as you feared, that the pain elf you paid to make your tiny doll isn't great at making dolls.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice,
you can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else, so do that now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
So you're basically in, like, if you've played any of the Murder Party games in Jackbox, like, just a weird, like, shitty off-brand ugly doll. The original messy doll had fully articulated soft limbs, and you would have been voiced by a national treasure. But instead, you are now trapped in this weird, shitty Happy Meal toy.
And voiced by Claire Blackwood.
Yeah.
Which, admittedly, different national treasure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. She's invaluable in Left 4 Dead games. Just throw that out there. Give her a katana. She'll conquer the world. Barbie, you look down, and you'll be familiar with this, Laura, because this is a mechanic that's happened to your characters a lot in our other shows. You can hear Mrs. Claus in your head, but she can't do shit with that body. It is literally a sack you will have to carry for the rest of the adventure. So begrudgingly, you pull her up over your shoulders like the Yoda bag. This turned into a weird Dagobah situation, but I'm kind of here for it. Claire, what do you say as a word of encouragement as 2020 Barbie begins the long trek back to the sleigh?
I think she'll just say, well, dearie, I hope this isn't the first murder you commit tonight. There will be more if you are to be the child's favorite.
I know.
Oh, okay, good. Just wanted to hammer that in, just like you hammered your little fists into my windpipe.
And with that, Barbie, breathing the cold, cruel freshness of a mask-free air, you begin the long trek back to the sleigh. Tafty, you get a knife to the gut. How did you imagine, even though you haven't been alive that long, how did you imagine, what's the worst case death for you? The best case is being consumed by the child. What's the worst case for you?
I think melting. I think being somewhere too hot and kind of losing my
molecular sugary structure and just melting
so like down. An end of Toy Story 3, let's all grasp hands and embrace oblivion.
Yeah.
Nightmare. Yeah. So admittedly, as a man made of taffy, a blade entering you kind of isn't the worst. But also, you look down on your classic Taft vest. We did a lot of Taft research on the break. You see the blade has not entered you. There is a hard gobstopper shell that has stopped the blade. And the sugar plum fairy smiles at you and just says, "See, this is what we offer."
Yes, well, very good then. And I can depend on this ability once more before completing
once
the task?
In a time of great need, probably in Ring 4.
Ring 4, got it, good, yes. Yes, I think we can come to an agreement then.
Well, good. I don't really know how to end these things, you know? It's all about the deal and proving it, and like, I stabbed you. Just go rob the spring fairies, please. I hate them.
Yes, good, yes. Would you mind terribly putting me back on the toy pile?
Oh, yes, that's another thing we could have offered you, but you chose this. And for a brief moment, the sugar around you coalesces into wings, and your bag flaps and crinkles in the air. Because, again, I'm imagining this is like dollar store army men bag. Like,
yeah.
It's not
yeah.
a good bag.
Yeah.
So it's just like crinkle, 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 and you briefly fly through the air. Tafty, what is your thought as you fly through the air?
My thought as I fly through the air, I think, is just about how great it's going to be being the child's chosen toy, and how I've further solidified my position as top toy by making key alliances.
Amazing. And with that, you're dropped back at the pile as you see the red lights begin to flash down the runway. Morky, you feel a tap on your shoulder. And you turn around, and Go-Go Hedgehog is standing there. He is like the bad purple of purples. You know that purple that is like something you only really see in dollar stores? It's like something went wrong in the dyeing process. He's a hedgehog with rounded bumps. And he's just like, "Needs to go quickly." And then he just kind of shudders, and you see the same disgust on his face that you feel on yours when you think about Darzny. And he says, "Hey, I'm sorry, guy. I just think maybe we're similar, you know? Are you also a knockoff?"
"Oh, no, I'm one of a kind. I'm way better than that son of a bitch over there."
And he just points to the other Mickey in a box.
Like, "Oh, wow." Sorry, shit, wrong voice. "Oh, wow, that guy seems super, like a super intense version of a beloved character that only a weird video game company would make."
"Yeah, he murdered my friend for doing absolutely nothing."
"Cool, I gotta eat this Charlie dog." And then he just sticks a hot dog bun full of butter near his face and is like,
"Okay,
I like this."
"Well, that's a thing you're doing.
One day there'll be an evil version of me called Shady Go-Go.
I mean, to be honest, I was born 20 minutes ago, so I've kind of got to take your word for this."
"Me too, buddy. Me too. So listen, you want to be the child's favorite, right?" "Let me tell you, bud, I know I'm just a Go-Go Hedgehog. I don't have a long history of cinematic masterpieces like Steamboat Marky. So, look, I've fallen into decline. Me and my progenitor, we're second fiddle to Mario and Blario, his shitty knockoff. I know I'm not going to be the favorite toy, I just want to live in the toy box. Can I team up with you?
Well, here's an idea. My box normally has 3 people inside it, but right now I've only got 2. However, I do have this empty head. What if you put it on as a mask and you can be Minky? With 3 of us in here, how can we fail? There's only one of that son of a bitch over there, isn't there?
And he points back at the Mickey and he's just fucking livid.
I agree. And listen, if you can help me clear the Armworld zone and help me with my buddy Tarles, I think we can do this.
All right.
How do you feel? This is something we need to hash out.
Okay.
I am weirdly obsessed with collecting golden squares.
Okay.
Do you care about golden squares?
Ah, not at all.
Fuck yeah. We're going to be best friends.
You can have all the pointless squares you want, and I will have victory. So will you. We get to be a toy box, and we'll stop that son of a bitch right over there, won't we? Fucking asshole.
And he just looks at you and he's like, yeah. Fuck maybe. And then he just shoves Minky's head on top of his head like a dead mouse mask. And they just crawl inside your box. And Garfy looks at him and says,
yeah?
And he's like, my mother was a saint. And then you just close the box. So, weirdly, with the other two characters being tied up in other things, I'm going to give you one more action, Ryan, that you can take before liftoff. Is there anything else you would want to try and do?
Okay, so I did some advanced scouting, and I learned some stuff. And I learned that the one Mickey is very dangerous. But the one thing I don't know is who else is in the 2021 Ken box. But I know there's a second thing. So I think he'd try to circle back around and get real cutesy to find out what's in there. Because Mickey's learned, or like, I mean, Mickey hasn't learned shit, son of a bitch, in that box over there. Morky. But I mean, Morky has learned that.
Sorry,
we're
calling him Mankey. I'm so sorry.
Honestly, Morky. They're all right. Like, I came up with like 4 different versions of this name. I was going to call him Minky originally, but I realized I needed a name for Minky Mouse.
My so man.
Made me change things. Now, he's realized that he's not a toy of action. He's a toy of leadership and cunning. So he needs to stick to that. So he'd want to go be like real cutesy and be like, oh, it's so great to have all these friends. And oh, I bet you're going to be the favorite toy, he says to 2021 Ken. And he's like, who you got in there with you? That's going to help you have an even better advantage.
Oh, hey, man. All right. Yeah, I got 2021 Barbie in here with me. You know what I like about Barbies?
No, don't say it. Something
gross.
Yep, probably. You all know the joke. All right, dazed and confused. Anyway, hey, Barbie. And he hits the plastic next to him. And Laura, what does 2021 Barbie say?
To Morky.
God, she just says, oh, hey.
He's like, yeah, that's all the conversation we have, and it's pretty good. Well, I like that she doesn't have opinions, and neither do I.
I'm based on the 1930s, and this seems more aggressive than me. Ha-ha!
All right, that's some truth bombs dropping there.
So, do you got anything in there that works like a weapon? You got your own sword?
And he just looks down at his rounded crotch and is like, nah, man, I don't got that. I have some cool ads about me driving a Lincoln, though.
Oh, wow. Are you a lawyer?
No.
Oh, well,
I was in that movie, but I'm just an actor. 2021 Barbie, how frustrated are you that you're stuck in this box with Ken?
I hate him. I hate him so much.
You want to try and team up with, although admittedly, this is a shitty mess.
I'm playing my fucking role.
I know. But Laura, what is 2021 Barbie? Like, what do you imagine she is compared to your actual character? I'm asking you to play your own villain here, but like, what is the nightmare version of this Barbie for your actual character?
She's just like, she's like carefree, but like
wants everyone to get out of her fucking way at the same time.
So she just like Alexis Rose? Like, is she a little bit Alexis from...
I don't...
Oh, Schitt's Creek. It's a reference that most people...
I have not watched Schitt's Creek. The rest Creek of us yet, are I on know.
Side with... No, no, it's all good. I but I think we're on side with just like a little too privileged, a little too good, and like very happy that she's in this position. Particularly because she's not 2020 Barbie. She's the hopeful future Barbie.
Yeah. But also, she's just like... this Ken asshole is way too like stuck in, I don't know. He's like stuck in like 2003 or something. She fucking hates it.
He's 2000 and late. Okay. Yeah. So
he says bro a lot. And
so Laura, as you playing your own nemesis, would you team up with Morky or would you wait for a better opportunity?
The offer.
You know what, Ken? Why don't you talk to my friend Minky over here for a second? I'd like to talk to 2021 Barbie.
I want to go quickly. All right. I want to go quickly too. They start talking.
Gorfy, go talk to them.
And he just like shoves him over to the other end of the box. And he's like,
hey, you seem pretty capable. And you seem kind of cool. And that guy seems like a real wiener.
Yeah, your assessment is correct.
All right, that's cool. I'm imagining you want to be the favorite toy.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't?
Oh, I mean, me. I just want to be part of a winning team.
Well, that's obviously a lie, but...
No. I mean, listen, I'm not going to win. I already had one person get murdered by the son of a bitch over there with a sword.
He points over to the Mickey and he's like, I need to build an alliance because at this point,
that son of a bitch killed my girlfriend. And I think we should, if he goes, then I'll go too. That's my deal. You help me take out that son of a bitch and I'll get you to the top of the hill.
But don't you want to be at the top of the hill?
Nope. That was my girlfriend. And I love her just like I love you.
And he leans up against the thing and he's like doing super cute, bouncy, hugging animal stuff.
Laura, I know you as Laura, cute. A player, would fight back against
no,
this.
No, but
I mean,
that's
apparently
like,
not,
the bouncing hugging is very cute.
But also, keep in mind, you're 2021 Barbie, where everything is amazing forever.
Yeah.
A year of infinite possibilities.
There's definitely...
President Harris is just going to be there. The memorial for President Biden will be in the works. Everybody gets a vaccine. Bill Gates rules supreme with his secret mind control drugs. Everything's going to be amazing next year. It's the best. So many Wonder Woman streaming movies.
I'm just glad that the pandemic made everyone so much more caring and empathetic.
That's the darkest thing anyone's ever said on the show. All right. So 2021 Barbie, are you choosing... Morky as your new Ken?
I'll accept the help. Well, no, because no one's going to be the new Ken. But
I get that.
Help.
But you know what I mean. Okay. So with that,
can I be the new Ken?
I don't need no fucking man. And then she says,
I mean, no, okay. What if I'm like your assistant? Because you seem like you're really busy.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. You want to manage my schedule?
Yeah.
I won't have time to do that. I'm going to be so busy. Having a social life.
And getting this job will help me support my family. You know, Gorfy and new Minky. I'm going to have to talk about our relationship.
And with that, Morky, you somehow find yourself in a new relationship. And admittedly, you've made two alliances and you're feeling pretty good about them. Tafty reappears on... sugar wings.
Oh!
You've got 2021 Barbie, clearly better than other Barbie who seems to be gone. Everything's great. Until you see 2020 Barbie, who now looks a little bit like Sarah Connor because she just went through a bunch of snow, with a bag over her shoulder that we know is talking to her. Taft arrives. And suddenly the ground shakes beneath you all as the man in red reappears. And he pulls out the skull and just cranks it down on the front of the sleigh slaps it twice and says, "One more time, Rudolph. Light my way, old friend. Let's ride." And with a crackle of electricity, all of you float up into the air. And with a snap of his fingers, you slam down into the back of his sleigh. And right before takeoff, you see, again, the northern lights, the beautiful sky, and you just hear him say, "May this bring another year's respite, my dark lords." And then as he throws out an arm, a whip made of thorns appears. He slaps it across the reindeers, and with one of those like soul-rendingly horrible animalistic cries that only wounded animals can make, the reindeer begin to run. And with a whoosh of air, you take off into the skies.
Our Pick Me Trophy Dark Incursion adventure features our GM, Tom McGee, players Ryan LaPlante, Tyler Hewitt, and Laura Elizabeth, and our very special guests, Guy Bradford and Claire Blackwood. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker, that's MRKR on Twitter. This show's theme music is Gothic Trip with Thunder Horse by Damiano Baldoni, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Cheats by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram at dumdumdice, or on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you could join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks for listening. Smash that subscribe button and show your love to One Shots. DJ One Shots out of here.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.